Welcome to lesson eight of our book one. This one is on truth. So here we're looking at starting off Proverbs 23:23, which says, "Buy the truth and don't sell it." So the question is, how do I determine what's true for me? Why do I believe my worldview is true? How does a personal belief become a truth? So you can see that there's some questions we asked. Is it something my parents raised me to believe? Maybe it's something that just feels right. How does it become a truth? Well, am I consciously aware of this belief that I carry around? Does it satisfy me whenever I am caused to doubt something? Does a belief motivate me to form a rule of action? It's deciding how I will act or behave. And does this belief convict me to live every day by that rule of action? So key things we look at to determine how do I decide personally what's true. Going to the next slide. We talked about the way America is set up today, the way our culture is. Do I really know what the truth is? If I'm not sure why I believe what I think is true, and we already talked about that there are plenty of people out there who are going to try to tell me what's true, then it isn't going to be long before I no longer believe what I thought was true. When we talked about in previous lessons, this whole idea of the correspondence and the coherence tests that we use for logos, that one of Aristotle's rhetoric for what's logical, what's a rational way to look at data. We talked about ethos. Is there some expert? Maybe it's a college professor that I'm listening to in class, and I'm going, wow, this person really has a lot more expertise on this subject than my pastor did in church. So, maybe my pastor was wrong, and this person, by the idea of ethos, being able to convince me by his expertise, I'm more persuaded. Or maybe it's pathos. Maybe I'm with a group of friends I meet in college. I become close with them, and I find out that these friends have a completely different worldview than I've been brought up in church to believe. Do I feel an emotional tug now in my friendships to abandon what I've always thought was true? These are the paths that lead you down a road, down those steps from what you held as a Christian worldview to ending up where you deny God even exists. We call it the descent of the Martinus. This is the secular humanist worldview that's battling for the minds and thoughts of our teenagers today. Well, let's look at the last slide. Why I know what is true, back to the correspondence test, what conforms to reality. Look at Romans 1:19, where the word there, when the Bible says that what may be known of God has been manifest or shown to him. That word in the Greek means notable or known by observation or study. That the things that are made in Romans 1:19, in other words, the created world, and then your conscience, what is manifest in you, those things can be known. You can study and know them. And that's why it says at the end of that verse that if you reject those things, you're without excuse when you stand before God. And why is that? Because again, he says he's made this evidence clear to see. Just like that we talked about in our proofs for the existence of God, the origin of the universe, the design in the universe, the fine-tuning, the origin of the soul, the fact that we're not animals. These things are clear evidence. You don't have to be a PhD person with a degree to be able to see these things. They're common sense. And then that flips over then to another word that's used by Jesus himself in John 17:3 when he says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." This is a different word for know than was used in Romans 1:19. This word means having absolute knowledge, complete understanding. It's having a relationship. It's relating to God, knowing him. And Jesus says that if you don't, if you reject him, you're without excuse again. Why is that? That's because Jesus said he has given that testimony of himself. He is God who came in the flesh. And he spoke that verse because that is exactly what it means. He is God who's come to show you what the Father's like. So the big reason here is not that he's made it clear to see that you've rejected his testimony, that he's made it clear for you to see that the condition you're in, he's the cure. He is the one who's come to say he can solve the sin problem you have. This is the basis for the Christian worldview. This is the basis for this ministry of Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That second half, evidence, that's the Romans 1:19 side, where God has given us clear evidence. The substance is the person of Jesus Christ, what we hope for.